current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology,
wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy and the world's news for Friday, July 19th, 2019. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hilt, and you are the audience that's smart enough to listen for the next hour as we discuss and learn how those things happening in our world today as we look at news headlines from around the world and what God has put on Pastor Mark's heart. Are the signs of the times that tell us we are living in the latter days as the Bible said we would. All things, all good things must come to an end, I suppose.
Yeah.
And better things to come.
Yeah, but again, encouraging because this is the transition from this world to the new one, and that's the one we're shooting for. We want the new world. So don't be, when we talk about the end times and all these kind of things that are happening, don't be in despair when you see these things happening. Be warned, be prepared in your mind, but it only gets better from here. We have to go through the transition for the birth.
Yes.
Once the birth takes place, it's rock and roll time with Jesus forever.
You know, it's kind of like when you've got a kid and the kid has experienced heartache for some reason. You know, maybe like the puppy ran away or... You know, just some sort of heartache, and the child thinks that all is lost, that it's not going to get any better.
Right.
And you, as a parent, know the future for that child. This is just a bump in the road. You know better things are ahead, and you try to, tell the child better things are ahead, but it's hard for that kid to see it.
Right.
And then you were that kid. You become that adult. You look back on those times and you know what you've got now.
Right.
That's kind of what it is for prophecy. When we see these prophetic things happening, we think, oh man, this is just horrible. Oh yeah. Well, Dad's telling me it's going to be better.
That's right.
You don't understand. You're going to get married someday. Or you're going to do this or you're going to do that and it's going to be fine. And it's hard for you to grasp that in the here and now. But when you get to that point as an adult, you look back. Yep. Dad was right.
Yep.
Things are better. That's what Bible prophecy is telling us, don't fret. These things are happening now, but all of these other things I've told you about, it's going to be so much better.
It is, and it really is. It's almost like, you'd have to go through a little bit of bumpy ride to get to the fun place. And so we got a little bit of a bumpy ride. Our job is to kind of share with you what the bumpy ride's going to be so you know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, I jumped into a conversation already, Greg.
Yeah.
Recently went to, was it Universal Studios? We were down. I'd never been there. We go and I looked online and they have this thing that says, what's this ride going to be like? Is it super like freaky? I mean, scary? Like, is it a big drop, an 80 foot drop or whatever it is?
Yeah.
Those massive drops. If I'm prepared for it, I'm ready. But if I'm not, it's like, whoa. And they tell you, this one's a 3, that one's a 5, this is a 2. And I thought, what a cool thing, because when I did those rides, it really was. It lined up pretty good what they said. That's what I think we need to do here, is we need to let people know, look, this is a 2, this is a 4, this is a 5, but you know what? The 5's still going to land okay. You're going to be fine. You might have to put your head down a little bit or whatever.
Right.
Tighten up the stomach muscles for that drop, but you're going to do okay.
So you felt once you saw those signs that you were able to better prepare yourself for the ride?
Oh, yeah.
And it would have been a lot worse for you if you didn't know?
It took the fear factor away. Here's what happened for me is my thing about rides. I'm this ride thing. I don't mind fast and even drops in certain instances. I'm not a huge ride guy that way, but I can do it if I know what to expect and how bad it really is. Because to me, I can calculate that, say, all right, I can do that. I can do this. I can do that. So it takes away that fear. So when I get on that ride, I'm not thinking, okay, am I going to round this corner and drop 100 feet straight down, screaming my brains out? Some people love that. I don't. But I can do that if I know it. I've learned to adapt. If I say, here it comes, and I can do certain things and make that 2 or 3 second plunge, and I'm good back for the rest of the ride. If I don't know that, it's like the anticipation, this anxiousness the whole time.
Right.
It took the anxiousness away. So I think that what prophecy does for us, yes, there's going to be some big drops and some scary things on the surface we're going to see. But if we know it's a 2, a 3, a 5, even if it's a 5, and that's the peak, and we know what to expect, because although it's a 5 and it's a sudden drop, the Lord's going to catch us at the bottom of that pool of water and maybe even refresh us with a little splash. It's okay. Matter of fact, you almost kind of can enjoy the ride, because you know what? It's like, once we're done with this, man, it's off to the real, you know, rides in the kingdom. It's off to the Lord and all. So
wow.
It's an interesting viewpoint. But
okay, well, welcome to prophecy land. Everyone listening is tall enough to ride on this ride.
That's right.
And so here's what you can expect for the next hour, that we are going to get into some topical things prophetically, and we're glad you could be with us and know what to expect. Everything's going to be okay. It might be a little gut tightening, but everything's going to be okay at the end. Hey, folks, don't forget our website. It's thesigns.org for everything related to our show. We always want to remind you to go check that out, where you can listen to previous shows. You can read the articles that we discuss. We don't make this stuff up. This stuff is out there in the world for those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. And you can also send Pastor Mark a prophecy question from our website. All the ways that you can do that and connect with us, comment to us, it's all at thesigns.org.
Let me make one comment, too, another, while we're doing commercials.
Yes.
We have an upcoming outreach I want to invite everybody to. We're trying to really reach out to the veterans. There's a real problem with suicide among veterans across our nation. And so what we're trying to do is we're linking up with Mission 22. They're an organization that helps to work with veterans for suicide prevention. And what we're doing a motorcycle ride on August the 3rd. We're meeting at Harley-Davidson, Smoky Mountain Harley-Davidson in Maryville at 10 o'clock. And then we're leaving from there and doing the ride. We'll meet at 12 o'clock at the Greenbelt Amphitheater right behind the courthouse in downtown Maryville. There's a park there called the Greenway or Greenbelt Amphitheater. Either one, I think, will get you to it. And if you want to do the ride, go to our website, calvaryknoxville.org. Go to the website and sign up on the website. It's $20 for a rider. And if you just want to give toward the veterans, you can go sign up and not show up for the ride. You just want to give. Maybe you're not a motorcycle rider, but you want to give for veterans suicide prevention. Let your veteran friends know. If you're a veteran, you're welcome to join on the ride. It's August 3rd. Go to Calvary Chapel's website. Sign up. Even if you don't ride, every penny goes toward veterans and helping them in suicide prevention. We're not using any of that money for the church. And the church is providing hot dogs, hamburgers, chips, Cokes, and all that kind of stuff. We're providing lunch afterwards for everybody that shows up. So it's going to be a great time August 3rd at 12 o'clock at the amphitheater there and behind the courthouse in Maryville. But again, the ride starting at 10.
At 10:30.
10:30. Thank you for correcting me.
At Harley.
10:30 at Smoky Mountain Harley. Thank you very much.
And just so people understand the severity of what we're talking about here, the name of the organization that we're partnering with, Mission 22, the reason why they have that name is because statistically, on average, 22 veterans are committing suicide every day.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's an impacting thing. And so any way that you can participate, and of course, we've got a lot of listeners that don't even live in the Knoxville area, but we do encourage you to go to the church's webpage at calvaryknoxville.org. And if you can give anything there, even though you won't be attending, you'll be there in spirit and financially will help this organization tackle the issue of veteran suicide, which is tragic. When you consider what these people have done, they've laid down their lives for their country, and then they end up taking their own life. It is unbelievably sad.
It really is sad. So I think that's good that we spent some time talking about that. Probably do it next week, too, to let our people know. But now on to our first half subject, which was turned over to me, and I wanted to make that announcement.
You have the baton.
Yes, I wanted to talk a little bit today just about God removing his hand of protection from the believer, but in this case, a country. If you remember Job, Satan wanted to get at Job, and he said, I can't. God said, why don't you try my servant Job? He said, I can't. You've got a wall of protection around him. I tried to get to him. I can't get my men, my demons to him. You know, you protected him. And God says, all right, I'll remove that hand a little bit. You can't go this far. You can't kill him, but you can go this far, and et cetera. That's how God. So God puts a hand of protection on us as believers. And if a nation honors God, God puts a hand of protection on that nation. That has been the United States of America. Why? Our founding fathers, although they're coming under a lot of attack right now, and although they weren't perfect, they were men who loved God, who honored God, and they established this nation and our Constitution on the Word of God. And because of that, our nation has been blessed. God has put a wall of protection around us. Now, again, I know this whole thing coming up now about slavery. A couple things I'll mention real quick, and that is this. Listen, slavery was common around the world at that time. I'm not making excuses. I'm simply saying it's all they knew. Once they figured it out, they repented. And by the way, it was against the law by Prince George to even get rid of your slaves at that time. So they had to do it by either when they died, leaving it in their will, or by other means. So I know there were sins of the fathers, so to speak. I'm not denying things that were, you know, nobody's perfect. I'm saying our nation was established on the word of God of the Bible. And there's been no perfect nation, even Israel at its best. But when they're trying to honor God, God blesses. So he puts a wall of protection just like he did around Job. However, if a nation turns away, then God will begin to remove his hand. And then we're like every other nation. You know, I think about Samson. Remember, even though Samson was living wickedly, God protected him until he went too far. Cut off all of his hair, which is his commitment, the Nazarite vow commitment he made to God. That was it. God removed his spirit. And it says Samson, who used to get up and just conquer everybody, jawbone of a donkey, he's killing 1,000 men, right? He gets up and says, I will go out as before and defeat the Philistines, when Delilah's going, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. It said he got up to go out as before and he had no strength. He did not even know that God had left him until it was too late. And he became like any other man. Listen, I see our nation like Samson in this one way right now. I believe our hair is being cut. We're turning from God as a nation. Not everyone, I know that, but as a nation, we're seeing a turn, slow turn from God. Once the last lock from our head is lopped off, we're going to try to go out as before, and we're going to be like every other nation in the world. What has made America special is not our ingenuity. It's not our constitution. It's not our smarts. We're no different than any other people around the world. What has made America great and what has made America special is God Almighty. God says, if a nation honors me, I will honor them. If they dishonor me, I will dishonor them. And now that we're starting to dishonor God more and more, gradually more and more each year, and as a nation, we're starting to see the other things that happen in other nations start to happen here. You know, Greg, it's interesting. When I grew up, I never had to worry about malaria or these diseases that you see. You know, these, like, you go to these foreign countries and they have these diseases and stuff. We're now seeing some of these mosquito-borne diseases like the Zika virus. These other things in America, we never had to worry about these things.
What about peanut allergies or
all
or
kinds of things?
Celiac. I mean, I never had any of those.
Well, here's the bottom line. Yeah. If you look back earlier, generation before, we didn't have all these things. We had some things, like anyway, but we were protected.
Yeah.
We're almost like in this bubble. We're not getting Zika virus. We had Zeke. He lived up in the mountains, but we didn't have Zika virus. And we had, not only did we have that, you know, we didn't have like the other, like West Nile virus. Mosquito-borne things. You rarely saw, you know, a shark attack or an alligator attack. It was extremely rare. Dog attacks, very rare. If you've noticed, over the last 20 years or so, we're seeing more of these things happen. Literally, alligator attacks killing people here in the States. We've had a couple already this year. You've got shark attacks on the rise. You've got these mosquito-borne diseases on the rise. You've got all the allergies that you're talking about on the rise. You've got, you know, again, now we have rats so infesting L.A. There's something like 12, I forget the number they gave. I don't want to say it's 12 something. It's either 12,000 or 12 million rats now in L.A. And I don't have that number in front of me. And they say when you reach the two mark or whatever that is, it must be 2,000. I doubt it can be millions. That's when you have to worry about plagues and diseases starting. So we've dodged the bullet so far, but we're like way beyond what the plague ratio for rats are in LA. You look at the trash in the streets of San Francisco, all the needles laying around, people using the bathroom in the streets. Listen.
Yeah, we covered a story on that.
God has had mercy on America, and God has supernaturally protected America. But I'm watching that supernatural protection lift. We'll get into the second half. I'm going to just mention it, but I don't want to go to the articles. The flesh-eating thing is the bacteria now starting to have all these kind of things happening in America that we used to not have to worry about. And now they're starting to happen here. Why was it they happened in other countries and they didn't happen here? It was no other reason. I know there are cleanliness reasons. I get that. But in general, it is because God has had a hand of protection on us as a nation and a people. And as we turn from God, God doesn't have to judge America. You know, I hear people say, God's going to judge America. Listen, if America doesn't repent, God will one day have to judge America because God is righteous. And he can only allow sin on a mass scale like this to go on for so long. So there will come a day, if we don't repent, that God will actually bring the judgment of God on America. Now, I don't know when that'll be or how long down the road that is if we don't repent. If we repent, that won't happen. So I'm not saying God can't judge America. I'm just saying God doesn't have to judge America at this point. At this point, all God has to do is remove his hand of protection. And if God removes his hand of protection, you're going to see more and more things happen. Here's what I predict. You're going to see more and more wild animal attacks on people. Things that never usually happen. You know, bears don't usually attack someone and eat them in our area. Mosquito-borne diseases increasing. Alligators in the southern part of the states attacking people and killing them and eating them. Snake bite. Shark attacks. All these things have always happened. I'm not saying they haven't. But the Lord said in the last days, you're going to see these kind of things increase. And I'm saying in our nation, what I'm fearing is, and what I'm watching happen is, you're seeing more of these things happen in our nation that didn't used to happen here. And I believe it's directly related to God simply saying, all right, you don't want me to protect you? I'm going to remove my hand of protection.
As we unlock the word, as far as prophecy is concerned, Pastor Mark, and I don't mean to put you on the spot on this, but it came to my mind, so I'm going to ask.
All right.
When Jesus is saying these things in Matthew 24 and saying that they will increase.
Yes.
In exegetically, the word study, what is the Greek revealing to us about that word? Is it just kind of like the general increase, or does it have a special emphasis like it's going to increase exponentially, like unbelievably rapidly, quickly, versus just a gradual increase?
He uses two words really to sum it up that has a gigantic picture to it.
Okay.
A woman in birth pangs.
Okay.
In other words, the word he uses there is a pregnant woman about to give birth. So when you think about what does that mean, that word is pregnant with meaning. And that is, it means it'll become more frequent. It'll become more often. It'll become more intense until finally birth of the new kingdom. So you're going to see the earth and mankind having more contractions, greater contractions, more frequent contractions. You're going to see things in the animals, in the climate. This whole thing about climate change. Listen, I don't think that our argument as Christians should be whether or not it's real or not. The Bible says the earth is going to be groaning. The earth is groaning, my friend. This is not man doing it. This is God saying, I'm going to allow the earth to begin to groan in animals, in nature, in environment, in everything leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. Because nature itself is saying, Jesus, come back, restore us. And so that's what we're working towards. So yes, it's going to become more frequent. And as I watch these articles, I mean, these things are jumping out at me. It may just be a contraction. But Greg, I read the news all the time.
Yeah, you do.
And I'm watching as we get into the next half hour, we get into some of the flesh-eating things. This is just all of a sudden, bam, it's there in our face, happening all over the place. You talk about the alligators. Suddenly I'm reading these articles about people being attacked by alligators and some living, some dying. I'm seeing, these animal attacks taking place where animals are getting bolder and getting a lot closer to people. I think you're going to see these kind of things increase because it's the earth groaning. And I think in our case in America, God is starting to remove his hand of protection. You know, think about a child with a dad. If you've got a child living at home and they get up to an age where they're a teenager and they start rebelling and they say, I know you're my father and I recognize, and maybe they don't recognize that you're their protection, but you've been protecting them in that home for years. And they say, I'm going to go up running away. I'll do my own thing. I'm out of here. And they go, okay, here's what's going to happen. They're free to run off, go do their own thing. Maybe not legally, but if they pull it off, they'd pull it off. But they don't have dad's protection anymore. And so now you're on your own. You're so big. You're so important. You're going to do your own thing. Well, then you know what? You're going to have the consequences of doing your own thing and coming out from under the hand of the protection of your father. I look at our nation right now, Greg. We have a nation and a government in turmoil. Whether you're Democrat or Republican or whatever you are, the bottom line is both sides, our nation right now is in turmoil. God also says that a nation that rebels against him, he will begin to allow this turmoil to happen, even the leadership. You know, we talked about it some before the show started. I want to read a little bit out of Isaiah because time's clicking by quick.
Yeah.
But listen to what it says in Isaiah that God talks about when Israel started turning away from God, some of the things as God removed his hand of protection. And then later on, God actually brought judgment on them. He says this about Israel, as they're turning away from God. For behold, this is Isaiah chapter 3. For behold, the Lord of hosts takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store. That is their supply, their richness, the fact that they have this abundance. the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, that is the wise people that God gives you. You're going to start losing the wisdom in your leadership. The captain of 50 and the honorable man will be gone, the counselor and the skillful artisan and the expert enchanter. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Look at our government today. Again, our leaders in the nation's capital are acting just like children. You know, there's a phrase, the adult in the room. It's there for a reason, because someone is acting soberly, responsibly, maturely. We have very few of those leading our nation now. There are some that are there, but our national leaders, our princes, are our children. They're, it's like babes, if you will. He goes on in verse 5, the people will be oppressed, everyone by another, everyone by his neighbor. Look at how we're divided now as a nation. We're oppressing each other, attacking each other. Look at this one. The child will be insolent toward the elder. Do you see the disrespect of children toward those that are their elder? It's ridiculous. And they'll be the base toward the honorable. The base will be more, you know, wicked toward those that should be getting honor. When a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, you have clothing, you be our ruler, and let these ruins be under your power. In that day, the protest will say, I can't cure your ills, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Don't make me a ruler. What he's saying is, if it keeps going this way, Greg, it gets to such a point that nobody wants to rule it, because it's just trouble, trouble, trouble.
Yeah. Who wants a part of that?
And by the way, as bad as it, think about this. Who wants to run for public office when you see what happens to you? Who wants to be a judge on the Supreme Court? Who would want to do that? The accusations, the attacks, the ugliness? I mean, that's what he's talking about here. He says, for Jerusalem stumbled and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The look on their countenance witnesses against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. That is, homosexuality will become more prevalent. And notice this, they don't hide it. Remember when they came out of the closet? He says, that'll happen. It'll be very common. Homosexuality will become very common. They won't hide it. He says, woe to their soul, for they brought evil upon themselves. Now again, do we love the homosexual? Absolutely. We love the homosexual, we love the person that's not homosexual. We love the Republican, we love the Democrat. We love everyone, but we still preach the truth of the gospel. But he's saying, if you turn from me as a nation, I will make the sin of Sodom more prominent, and I'll make it to where they'll be bold about it. They'll be proud about it. They won't even hide it anymore. He says, say to the righteous that it will be well with them. Now, this is encouraging here, although that's happening.
Okay.
He says, it's going to go good with the righteous, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. But woe to the wicked. It shall be ill for him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. Now he goes on, talks about the leadership again. Look what he says. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your path. Now, God's not saying here that a woman can't be a good leader, or that women can't even be in government. That's not what this point is. What he's saying is, here's the point. Your leaders will be like children, and your men will stop leading. God designed men to be leaders. We're supposed to be leaders in our home, and we're supposed to be leaders in our community. That doesn't mean that women can't be leaders as well. But God is making the point here, when a nation turns away from God, it will predominantly be women who will be ruling over. They'll be the only ones leading. The men will lay down their responsibility, and they won't be doing it. And Greg, it's interesting. As we've seen our nation turn more away from God, we've seen the pro-woman movement rise more and more, which again is a wonderful thing in many ways. Again, there's nothing wrong in focusing on the equality of men and women. But what God is saying is that men will then shirk their responsibility and lay down their responsibility and just kind of give up, turn it over to, you know, and you'll have children and women as the leaders of your nation. Because the men have gone to sleep. Now, I'm not trying to get into a bunch of political issues. I really don't care about that, and that's not my point in this. As I said again, I'll say it again. Women can be leaders. Women are strong leaders, and there's nothing wrong in women leading even in government. But when men go to sleep, when men lay down their responsibilities, that's when the society starts really wobbling. It's like a tire that's wobbling really bad on the car and is out of balance. God has designed men to lead, and if men don't lead, your society is not going to run properly. Okay, it's not about one being better than the other. It's just how God designed it. You know, we were talking about at the beginning of before the show started, God designed male and female. That's all he designed. He didn't design but two genders. That's it. And now we see everybody trying to play God. I'll make up my mind whether or not I agree with that. And I'll create a new gender. And we'll have multiple genders and all this. These are hot political issues today. But for the church, that our issue should be, look, here's what God said. And we have to stand as believers on what God said, not in the sense of having a fight, but leading the way in truth so that others can see the truth and be saved. You know, and again, it's not even a matter of you know, people might get mad at us, Greg, because we proclaim what the Word of God says. We didn't come up with this. This isn't our message. You know, we're just the mailman. The message has been given to us. We go and drop it off at the house. Can you imagine if you're the mailman showed up and you go get your mail, start screaming at the mailman about all these bills?
Yeah.
Yelling at him, what have you done? Who do you think you are handing me all these bills? I didn't do this. It's not my idea. I'm just delivering it.
Right.
We are the messengers of God. And if we don't see what's happening to our nation and to our world, and even speak clearly about some of these more controversial issues in our society, how are we going to know the truth? Who's going to direct us back toward truth in the Lord?
Well, you know, the sad thing is that the Bible is littered with messengers.
Yeah.
And the world has responded to them the same they respond to the messengers today.
Right.
Disdain, yeah. Mock, ridicule, hatred,
well,
and sometimes death.
And Greg, there could be some listening right now that happened upon the station saying that we're being hateful simply by reading the Word of God.
Yeah.
It's not our message. And God is certainly not hateful. God is love. And God loves everyone. Everyone, it's not about whether or not God loves the person or not. It's about hating the sin. And I know that's something that's mocked at today by the world out there, so to speak. But, you know, I guess, and I know I'm running out of time, so I kind of want to sum this up and say, look, here's the bottom line.
You got 2 minutes.
As I'm watching our nation turn from God, and I read the Word of God, the very things that God says will happen are beginning to happen. That is, we're watching the rise of gender confusion, unnatural relationships. We're watching men lay down and not take their leadership responsibility, which means that women have to step up. Who's going to lead? I mean, again, God's not saying it's wrong for a strong woman and wrong for a woman to lead. He's saying that men are also, we should be in there leading the way. And then he also says, you'll have children. You'll have immature children leading your nation. Look at our leaders. Look at what they're talking about in the House and the Senate and you know, all over our government. You know, again, whether you agree or disagree with politically with where our leaders are, look at how they're conducting themselves. So my point is, church, we need to turn back to God. We need a revival in the church. We need our nation to turn back to God. God says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. We need a hearing in heaven. We need a healing of our land, and it's something only that God can do. Don't shy away from speaking the truth of God's word. Share it in balance and in love. But let God's word do what it's called to do. And understand this, when you do share God's word, people will accuse you of being a hater because they don't agree with God's word. But God is not a God of hate. You're just the messenger, and God is a God of love. If you don't deliver the message of love, there's no hope. Remember, Jesus delivered purely a message of love, and the world hated him so much, they
yes.
beat him and nailed him to a cross and mocked him and got rid of him, basically. But they didn't get rid of him because he paid for sin, and he now purchased everything back, us included, and he's coming back to rule and reign very soon here on this earth. So,
well, and aren't we blessed that the Bible said what it was for him is that God set his face like flint.
That's right.
He was undeterred by any of that hatred. And what he was about to suffer because he loved us and loves us that deeply.
That's right.
That's a love we can't even comprehend that right now. We're going to spend all of eternity learning more about that love.
That's right.
Wow. Signs of the Times continues right after Israel in the News. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
WIAMLP
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
From the headquarters of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews in Jerusalem, this is Israel in the News. I'm Bob Sauer. A small oil tanker from the United Arab Emirates traveling through the Strait of Hormuz entered Iranian waters and turned off its tracker 3 days ago. leading the U.S. to suspect Iran has seized the vessel. Fox's Trey Yingst reports.
The Iranians Wednesday are admitting they have control of a UAE-based oil tanker that went missing 3 days ago. The country claims it was towed to shore after having technical problems. The vessel reportedly has 25 crew members on board, and while it's based in the Gulf, the ship is owned by a Panamanian company. According to reports this week, the U.S. military is trying to set up a maritime coalition to operate in the Gulf to prevent attacks by Iran or Iranian-backed proxies on oil tankers.
The Jerusalem Post reports that the Israel Defense Forces, in conjunction with Israel's security agency Shin Bet, uncovered a Hamas money laundering scheme in the West Bank on Tuesday. The military issued a statement saying, quote, "The network that we have now exposed operated under the guise of a civilian organization in an attempt to conceal the money's origin and destination." The terror group Hamas and its affiliates continue to spread anti-Israel hatred not just across the Middle East, but across the world. Speaking at a Palestinian-led March of Return rally last Friday, Hamas official Fatih Hamad called on Palestinians to, quote, "attack every Jew on earth and slaughter and kill them if Israel does not lift its blockade along the coastal enclave." In the U.S., one state passed a bill to promote awareness of the Holocaust and combat anti-Semitism.
Oregon Governor Kate Brown signed a bill into law Monday requiring public school students learn about the Holocaust and other genocides, and it all began with a 14-year-old student. Claire Sarnowski came up with the idea through an unlikely friendship with 92-year-old Holocaust survivor Alter Wiener. The two met 4 years ago when Sarnowski attended one of Wiener's talks about surviving the concentration camps. Sarnowski told lawmakers earlier this year Holocaust education should be required in all schools to ensure history doesn't repeat itself. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
The European Union released a statement on Monday stating that Iran's violations against the 2015 nuclear deal did not necessitate reimposed sanctions by the EU. In response to that statement, the Times of Israel reports that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu reprimanded the European Union, warning that it seems that, quote, "There are those in Europe who won't wake up until Iranian nuclear missiles fall on European soil, and then it will be too late." This has been Israel in the News, a weekly news summary presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Show your support for Israel and the United States with a free U.S.-Israel flag pin. Get yours today at israelinthenews.org. That's israelinthenews.org. I'm Bob Sauer.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news. This is episode 87 for the podcast community. And for you, if you're listening live, well, it's Friday at 2:03. How about that? July 19th,
yep.
Halfway through the year,
yep.
More than half.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Stores will start, if they haven't already, packing Christmas stuff in. And
wow.
I mean,
that's kind of...
No, right. Really. That's crazy.
You're right. I mean, it's
I think if you go to Hobby Lobby, I think they probably have Christmas stuff.
Well, we live in the year-round Christmas area, Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge. It's the year-round Christmas stores anyway, so we're already there. So
it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's get into some articles.
Let's do it. On the boats and on the
planes. Our first article here from our American category, ChristianHeadlines.com, is reporting, this is dated July 12th, is reporting that the American Psychological Association, don't know if I've heard of them before, have you?
Yes, I have.
Okay, fantastic. Do you have any problems you want to talk about? No, I'm just kidding. launches a task force encouraging non-monogamous relationships.
Yeah. These guys.
What is this all about?
They went off the deep end years ago. I'll cover that in a second. But listen to what it says. The APA has said the task force is dedicated to, as you said, consensual non-monogamy, and is advocating for people who practice polyamory. Hope I'm saying that right. Open relationship, swinging relationship.
Is that what that means? Polyamory? I've never heard that word before.
Yeah, polyamory. I mean, it's a word.
That means many.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I know that's what it means. Multiple partners, but
multiple
I don't know if
partners.
I'm saying it right because
okay,
it's not a word
fine.
I'm not used to. But
yeah.
Anyway, they're encouraging other types of non-monogamous relationships. Finding love or sexual intimacy, they say, is a central part of most people's life experience. However, the ability to engage in desired intimacy without social and medical stigmatization is not liberty for all. This task force seeks to address the needs of people who practice consensual non-monogamy, multiple relationships, in other words, including their intersecting marginalized identities. However, Andre Von Moll, a California doctor and co-chairman of the Committee on the Adolescent Sexuality for the American College of Pediatricians, told the Christian Post that there is a cult of affirmation of people hoping to understand what he called marginal sexual behavior. That is, they're basically marginalizing things that are immoral. The APA's sexual divisions have long since been taken over by extremists. Unless parents push back, it won't be long before this will be taught to our children in school. Here's the bottom line.
Mm.
It's basically, Greg, the Association of American Psychology. That's all
okay.
this is. And what they've done is, over the years, for example, they used to say that homosexuality was a mental disorder. And then when that became a political issue, they dropped that. They said, no, we changed our mind. It's not anymore. And so they basically acquiesce to the society and culture and whatever the culture wants.
The fear of man.
Yes. And what they try to do is they try to remove the conscience of man, the guilt we feel before God when we sin. They try to remove it so that you don't feel that guilt to say, okay, all right, it's okay to have adultery. It's okay to have sex outside of marriage. It's okay to have multiple relationships, and you shouldn't be stigmatized by the guilty feelings that you feel. But here's the problem. They're trying to take away the feelings of guilt and remove the conviction of God that God gives by the Holy Spirit by telling you that, you know, it's okay. You need to get over that. It's something that's mental and deal with it. The thing is, some people use that as an excuse to live in their sin.
Oh, yeah.
But your conscience still haunts you. You can't take away. Now, at some point, you can deaden it. You can deaden it. The Bible talks about that, mm-hmm. like searing it with a hot iron.
Yeah, making
bottom,
it numb.
Yeah, so it's almost like Satan really uses the psychology of the psychology approach, if you will, oftentimes to deaden the effects of sin in America so that people are free to sin without the conviction of it.
Right.
They've been doing this for years. Now they're just moving into multiple relationships and doing the same thing. Whatever the sin is, it's basically trying to remove the psychological effect of sin in your life so that you can sin without worry. Like they said, there won't be liberty and freedom for all. They're trying to say, we don't want you to be under the bondage of guilt. You need to be free. Well, that bondage of guilt is called conscience, and God gave it to you to say you need to repent or you can't go to heaven. And they're trying to remove God's built-in conscience that would keep man from sin so they can go to heaven. It's no different. They've been doing this for years. It doesn't surprise me. They've lost their legitimacy years ago as far as that goes, as far as the organization. And so, again, I think this is just another logical step in them trying to basically open up the door for sin without guilt is the best way to describe it.
One more step into the depraved abyss.
It really
so
is.
To speak.
It really is.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. In One World Economy news, this first article is from the New York Post. This is we've covered this before, but this is really taking off here.
Yes.
It says Swedish people are getting chip implants to replace cash.
Yeah. Yeah. Thousands of people in Sweden having the futuristic microchips implanted into their skin to carry out everyday activities and replace credit cards and cash. More than 4,000 people have already had the sci-fi-ish chips.
Not to be confused with fish and chips.
Suddenly, you know, it sounds like they almost did that on purpose. It almost sounds like they
did. When I read that, I'm like,
sci-fi-ish and chips. I didn't say and. But
I thought you were going to say that,
yeah,
so I took it because
yeah,
you didn't.
No, it's
do
good.
It.
I'm glad okay. you did it. I mean, it's a very Again, the size of a grain of rice inserted in their hands, we'll see later also in the head, with the pioneers
yes.
predicting millions will soon join them as they hope to take it global.
Mm.
It's a very Black Mirror, Swedish scientist Ben Liberton told the
Post. Black Mirror.
Yes. Similar to TV series highlighting futuristic scenarios. Like glorified smartwatches, the chips help Swedes monitor their health and even replace key cards to allow them to enter offices and buildings. They have particularly caught on, however, by enabling owners to pay in stores with a simple swipe of the hand, a big deal in forward-looking country that is moving toward eliminating cash. The microchips were pioneered by former body piercer Johan Österlund, who calls the technology a moonshot, who told Fortune magazine that he's been hit up by hopeful investors on every continent except Antarctica. Tech will move in. Listen to this. Tech will move into the body, the Biohacks International founder told the magazine. I'm sure of it. He insists technology is safe. It has not, stopped alarm bells from ringing, with some fearing linking to a doubling in cybercrime in the country over the last decade. Doubling of cybercrime. Liberton, a British scientist based in Sweden, praised the definitely exciting potential health benefits of accurate health metrics taken from inside the body. Now, get this, the thing they make to the Apple Watch. Think if the Apple Watch could measure things like blood glucose, he told the Post. But he also fears the mass of highly personalized data and how it could be used. The problem is, who owns this data? Do I get a letter from my insurance company saying premiums are going up because they know you're ill?
Good point.
If I use the chip to buy lunch, go to the gym, go to work, will someone have all this info about me? Is that stored somewhere that's safe? He added, it's not just about the chip, but integration with other systems and data sharing. And he fears Swedes are not going to giving enough thought into the potential dangers. People have shown they're happy to give up privacy for convenience, he said. The chip is very convenient, so we can accept our data being shared very widely before we know the risks. The trend coincides with Sweden's march toward going cashless, with notes and coins making up just 1% of Sweden's economy. At the same time, the country has seen a dramatic decrease in some crimes, with just 2 bank robberies last year compared to 110 in 2008. Now, Greg, there's so much to talk about. Let's take a minute. We have literally been talking about all the things that this would do for years before it ever happened.
Yes.
13 years ago, when we started going on the air, however long the show's been on the air.
Yes.
And long before that, when I would be teaching, I would say, look, there's coming, a chip's coming. Here's what's amazing to me. It's happened so gradual. It's been talked about so much, coming up, getting ready for it. So many people don't know the Bible today that the article should say, and everyone is going, isn't this just like it says in the Bible? Isn't this just like it says that this world leader is going to do? It's not even mentioned in the article. And yet the Bible very clearly says that this world leader that's coming on the scene will cause everyone to take a mark in their forehead or their hand, which is the two places they're talking about putting these, and that they are putting them. And he's going to use it to control the world and control them. And again, we talked about how ingenious this would be to be able to swipe your hand for groceries or use it for all your smart devices or your health information. I mean, it is truly an ingenious, wonderful thing if it was righteous. But because we know the Antichrist is going to use it for unrighteousness, and this is really, I mean, it's the Bible coming to life, and it's not even mentioned that the Bible's coming to life in the article, Greg. Again, this is happening all around us. I don't know if we're going to get into, do we have the article by, what's his name?
We do.
Okay,
we
good.
Do.
Okay,
we
yeah.
Do. We do. Well, let's just share something really quickly with our listeners, especially if you haven't listened to this show before, because first of all, Pastor Mark and I, we love technology. And the Bible says not only will the Antichrist cause people to take this mark, but the Bible also says that those that take the mark have condemned themselves eternally separated from God. Here's why. Here's the spiritual implication to all of this. When you give your life to Jesus, the Bible says that God seals you with a mark.
Yep, that's right.
Only he can see it.
That's
we
right.
can't see it, but he can.
That's right.
And it's a seal that says you're marked for me.
Yep.
The reason why it's such a big deal is because Satan is the great imitator and mocker of God. He doesn't have the power of the Holy Spirit that God does. So his way of mocking or mimicking the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be through the technology to control people through technology and to embed this technology into people. Thus, he puts his mark
there
on
them.
And so
there
basically, it's an issue of allegiance. Are you going to ally yourself with God and allow him to put his mark on you? Or are you going to allow the Antichrist to forcefully put... Now, if you put that chip in you today, I don't know that that's necessarily would be considered...
It doesn't fit the definition.
It doesn't fit the definition.
No.
But once he comes on the scene as the world leader and he requires that you take that mark, that's when you're going to make your allegiance position. Am I aligning myself with Satan or am I aligning myself with God? And that's an eternal answer.
Yeah, and I would encourage our listeners to not even take the chip.
I wouldn't even do it.
Even though the chip, I don't think, until the Antichrist does it, the Bible says that's not the mark of the beast. But I would still encourage you not to do it, because if the chip's already in there and they keep updating the technology and the Antichrist comes on the scene, all he has to do is plug you into the system. And then basically you've got to
been grandfathered in.
And basically you've got to go in and remove it now on your own, because if it's against the law, if everybody has to have one, the doctor's not going to take it out.
Nope.
So you've got to get a razor blade, cut that thing out of your head or your forehead or your hand. You're just going to be painful. You're going to see the, you know, hopefully you won't be here because you're going to be knowing Jesus and be out of here. But I'm saying, you know, even if you're an unbeliever hearing this right now, I would never go that direction because we know it's going to be taken over by this world leader and it's going to be something God forbids. So, but it's amazing to watch it happen, Greg, to see it's exactly happening with all the great benefits we talked about that would be alluring to it. And the world just kind of, I'm not even reading any articles of Christians freaking out over it, which I know there are some doing that, but don't we see what's going on? Hello, Revelation chapter 13, we're told all about it, and now it's happening, and it's just amazing to watch everything God said take place. Yeah. And just, it's in front of us.
It is right in front of us. All right, let's get into a little bit of growing anti-Semitism news before we get to our bigger articles, because this seems to come up all the time. But anyway, Breaking Israel News reporting that a Gaza leader has come out and said that the Palestinians around the world are preparing to kill Jews in diaspora.
Yep.
Thank you. Which is basically those Jews that are scattered abroad.
Yes, you're right. This one case says a leader in Gaza stated that the Palestinians in America and Europe have been preparing to kill all the Jews, giving the world 1 week before all the Palestinians around the world slaughter and kill every Jew on the planet. So this has been planned for a long time. They're saying they've been making this plan where they're all going to unify and just kill Jews wherever they are. He later modified his statements, limiting its scope, calling the Palestinians in Israel to kill only the Jewish population in Israel. So he wants all the Jews dead in the world, but right now let's focus in on Israel. He says, our patience has run out. We are on the verge of exploding. If this siege is not undone, we will explode in the face of our enemies with God's permission and glory. The explosion is not only going to be in Gaza, but also in the West Bank and abroad, if God wills. And he goes on talking about, you know, why are we waiting? We've been planning so long. Allah wants us to do this. Let's go ahead and do it. I'm not saying that every Palestinian is in line with this, but here's the bottom line. There are some that definitely want this, that are definitely planning on it. And again, we know the whole world's going to turn against the Jews. They're going to turn on them. The Antichrist will be killing the Jews wholesale, just like they did during the Holocaust. And we see the true heart now of the some of the leaders in the Palestinian movement. Now, I think what you've got is, I think most of the leaders would agree with them, but you've only got some that are bold enough to come out and say it that directly. This guy's bold enough to come out and say it that directly. And so no surprises here. Just, again, how do you negotiate with somebody like this? These are the ones that our nation and others are trying to get to negotiate.
Yeah.
And it's going to take the world leader, this Antichrist, supernatural power to come in and bring these factions together.
Yeah. Well, and a little bit of Ezekiel to wipe out the radicals, too. So that's going to
be part of it.
Yeah. All right. The big topic this week, as far as the news, I would say is under pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption, and that is the handful of articles, and there could be more, regarding the latest pestilence or plague, and that is that of flesh-eating bacteria.
Yeah.
We got an Alabama man exposed to flesh-eating bacteria in the Tennessee River, 12-year-old contacts flesh-eating bacteria during vacation in Destin, Florida. We got another Florida one. We've got one in Delaware Bay. You said you saw a story about one in Virginia.
So this week.
Have at it, Pastor Mark.
We have had five or six flesh-eating disease instances. As a matter of fact, Greg, there was just one here up in Pigeon Forge that I'm aware of.
And
I actually saw it killed him. He died. That's all I'm going to say. So it's happening locally as well.
Do they know where he contracted it? Was it in one of the rivers up in the Smokies?
Well, he actually set his motorcycle down, scraped his arms, and he was fine. The disease got in through the scrapes on his arms, infected his body, and killed him.
So this wasn't a water necessarily.
This was not a water issue. This happened right here locally in the past couple of months. So it's even here that's happening. But let me read just a little bit of these articles.
Yes.
A 12-year-old Indiana girl who was vacationing with her family in Florida contracted a rare flesh-eating bacteria that will take her months to recover. The Brown family went to the beach in Destin earlier this month, where Kylie fell drastically ill. After arriving to Florida amid a few stormy days, they were in the clear to visit the beach June 9th. Authorities warned them and others that it was still dangerous to go in and only allowed people to go in knee deep. Again, that was just because of the waters, not any kind of bacteria. Most of the family, including Kylie, entered the water and had some fun. Her mother, Michelle Brown, said Kylie had pain in her right calf the following day, assuming it was a Charlie horse. However, the pain continued to grow and prevented her from walking. She ended up in the emergency room, and had they not gone in when they did, they said she would have died. The one here in Florida, another one out of Miami, the family of a Florida woman who died after being infected by the flesh-eating bacteria at a beach, is alerting others of the warning signs. 77-year-old Lynn Fleming died last week. She had been walking near her home along the Gulf of Mexico coastline when she stumbled ended up with a small cut on her shin. Went for a walk around the surf wall, and she stumbled and was cut there, said Wade Fleming, who never imagined something so small would end his mother's life. Days later, she was rushed to the hospital with necrotizing fasciitis, a rare deadly bacterial infection that kills the body's soft tissue or the flesh-eating bacteria. She didn't know there was a small ditch there. She stumbled, hit the embankment, and a three-quarter inch cut. Again, it got in that way and took her life. And the other one, of course, Greg, you mentioned here, was this person from Delaware Bay. Says a dangerous flesh-eating bacteria may be on the rise in some popular East Coast beaches due to warming temperatures. In the past years, five cases of the flesh-eating bacterial infection that spread by handling or eating contaminated food have been linked to Delaware Bay, according to a study. So there's more than five, but this is Delaware Bay. It occurs in highly salinity, brackish waters with surface temperatures above 13 degrees Celsius, 55 degrees Fahrenheit. Has been typically found in warm waters of the Gulf Coast and southern states during the months between May and October. Again, it's epidemic along the southeastern U.S. coast, the bacteria is, but it's also been found in the Chesapeake Bay, according to a study published Monday. So even farther up north, the five patients infected in Delaware were all treated at Cooper University, Camden, New Jersey, over the last 2 years. Before that, the hospital had only seen one case in 8 years. So look at how this is increasing. And, of course, all the other ones that we've added to this. So here's the bottom line. This thing is happening more and more often, this flesh-eating bacteria disease. And this is not, again, to make us nervous. I mean, it kind of can't help you make a little bit nervous if you're going to the beach. But why is this happening now again? People say, well, because, again, the warmer temperatures and it's causing all this. The reason, I'm telling you guys, the reason is we're seeing more of these things happening is because America is now, I believe that God is starting to remove his hand of protection. I know that may sound basic, but I believe that with all my heart based on what I see in Scripture. And I think we're going to see more and more of these type of things, including in the last days, an increase in pestilence and disease and plagues. And so, again, things we never had to worry about, Greg, diseases that never were a concern to us. And now all of a sudden we're having these things that we have to deal with that are becoming more common, and you're going to see more and more of this as we get closer into the last days. Here'd be my word of encouragement. Don't freak out or panic on this, and don't stop going to the beach. Just make sure there's no cuts when you go into the water, and if you see anything that's odd at all, then, you know, go straight to the doctor, because the way it kills people is it goes into the bloodstream if you wait too long, and you become what's called septic, and which means the infection gets in your bloodstream, takes your body over, and then it shuts the body down due to the infection. So,
okay. Oh, boy. All right. Dodging bullets left and right. Yeah. Here's a couple of articles from the church, ChristianHeadlines.com. It says 10 Christians are dying every day for their faith in the country of Nigeria.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You know, we think about, we don't see the persecution so much here in America. We see some of the heat being turned up as far as, oh, you're a Christian, but we don't see the deaths, if you will. But it is happening around the world at a greater rate than it did during the days of the early church. And many people don't understand that. The article says life has become increasingly difficult for Christians in Nigeria as persecution continues to rise. And an average of 10 Christians are dying for their faith every day. That's just in Nigeria. 91 million Christians live in Africa's most populous nation, but many of them face consistent harassment and violence from Muslim extremists. David Curry, CEO of Open Doors USA, recently spoke about the struggles facing the Nigerian Christians on the PureFlix podcast. He explained, and I quote, there are these Islamic terrorist groups with safe haven in the north, and the government has done little to nothing to root them out. That makes the north of Nigeria one of the most dangerous places for Christians. Again, Curry pointed out on May 18th, an incident which Islamic extremists attacked a church choir that was practicing, and they're still holding 17 members captive. They don't know if they're alive or dead. Here's the bottom line. Believers are being put to death around the world at a greater rate. You know, more believers were killed in the 1900s than all of the centuries combined up to that point, just in the 1900s. And it's only gone up since then. So don't think we're not living in the days of Christian persecution. We are. And here's what I would point out. Be praying for your brothers and sisters in Nigeria and around the world. They're suffering greatly. Lift them up to the Lord and realize that this is part, again, of the last days, a greater and greater hatred of Jesus Christ and his followers.
Yeah. All right, let's go on to our science story end our time here at the table of prophecy. CNET.com is reporting that Elon Musk, now for those of you that Do you know Elon Musk? He is the inventor or the guy behind SpaceX to get people into outer space. And here on Earth, terrestrially, he's the guy that started the Tesla brand of electric cars.
Right. So,
now you know who Elon Musk is.
Yes.
Now, Elon Musk is planning a Neuralink 2020 human test of a brain computer interface.
That don't make no sense.
I don't know what this is all about, but is this linked to the chip? What is this?
He is doing so many things, Greg, and yes, it is linked to the chip and this brain computer interface. And what I find so interesting about this is how he's not just putting the chip in the forehead, which it says will be on the hand of the forehead where he wants it to be, but he's linking it to the brain to be used with technologies such as computers, smartphones, all kinds of interface with mankind and computers. And really, again, you could see how this is going to be so appealing to all the techies and the new generation. I mean, we probably have more Muscovites out there than we know. Neuralink's N1 sensor, a few millimeters across, can connect 1,024 tiny probes laced into the interior of the brain. The sensor chip is embedded under the skin and links to a wearable device behind the ear. And let me say this. This is the first model, wearable link behind the ear. It'll eventually be, I believe, just something that's in there
in
that won't have anything behind the ear.
Right,
and won't have any
right.
neural links to the brain. It'll just do it all basically Wi-Fi.
Right, right.
Elon Musk's startup that's trying to directly link brains and computers has developed a system to feed thousands of electrical probes into a brain and hopes to start testing this technology on humans in 2020, Chief Executive Elon Musk revealed Tuesday. And I quote, and it's working already in animal tests. A monkey has been able to control a computer with his brain. Musk said at a San Francisco live streaming presentation on YouTube Tuesday, revealing even more research results than the company's scientists expected. Mm. Neuralink's initial goal is to help people deal with brain and spinal cord injuries. Again, that's a great way to use this. But the long-term goal, note this, is to build a digital superintelligence layer to link humans with artificial intelligence, computers, iPhones, etc., a technology he views as an existential threat to humanity. Ultimately, we can do a full brain machine interface where we can achieve a sort of symbiosis with AI, artificial intelligence, Musk said. One goal along the way will be letting people type 40 words a minute just by thinking. He goes on again, the bottom line, this thing is you'll be able just to use your brain to do so many things. It links everything, your body's functions, all your records, all your medical things, all your connections. This is a wild thought, Greg. Again, they're talking about AI police. Like, remember RoboCop, the show RoboCop?
Yeah, did you watch that story that I told you to watch on 60 Minutes?
I didn't. I need to go back and watch it. I apologize.
Okay.
Maybe I'm about to mention what you're talking about.
It could be.
Because they're talking about these RoboCops that have these sensors with that if you have a chip in you or face recognition and they're just on the street patrol and you're going by, if they know you're somebody, they'll know you're a bad guy. They get you right there. I mean, you can't get away with anything. If you've got the facial recognition or the chip, then they can nab you at that moment because the computer tells them. Listen, go to Walmart. I was in there yesterday. They've got these new screens up. Maybe you saw them. I don't know if you did. I
haven't been in there.
Walmart on Chapman Highway has these new screens hanging that says recording in progress and these big screens between all the checkout aisles. And, of course, I'm sure that's to deter crooks. But you'll notice as you walk up, all these little square boxes going on everybody's face. You see all these square boxes on everybody's face.
Oh, my.
They are logging facial recognition at Walmart now. And that means they're taking your face, the facial recognition, it's going into their set. Now, I can't prove they are, but I would say they are. That box is monitoring your face. They're probably logging that, keeping it, which means it's a great way to catch somebody if they do something wrong. But if the police ever need that and they do a facial recognition like fingerprints, now we're going to be logged worldwide. Facial recognition, you can't get away. Think about when the Antichrist takes over, gives the chip and the facial recognition. There's no escape. You have to obey.
Well, the story that I told you about, the Oracle of AI, is about what they're doing in China, facial recognition, where they're determining what your mood and your attitude is by looking at your face.
Wow.
And how accurate it is.
Wow.
And it describes your clothing and everything like that, so it gives you that. Anyway, it's just...
Wow.
The technology is amazing, but how it's going to be used is absolutely prophetic.
Yes, it is prophetic. It is prophetic. So,
folks, for everything prophetically related, don't forget our website, thesigns.org, and we hope you have a great weekend, and we will see you back here next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn how these things happening in our world today are pointing to God's Word as signs of the times.